This is the Inno the Buzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 71 of the Inno the Buzz podcast. Now, today's podcast, we're going to try something different. We thought it would be a good idea to have me answering the buzz round of questions that I normally put to my guests on the show. So we have Mavis Taguba from our Manila office in the Philippines joining us for her very first podcast. So go easy on her, but I think she does a wonderful job interviewing me and guiding me through the innovation round. Now, when we did this, I didn't realize how much I actually talk. And this episode goes for about 40 minutes, which is the longest buzz round that we've had, I think. So I've saved all the great content that we had planned for this episode for a future episode. In the meantime, I think there's great value in the discussion that I had with Mavis today. So without further ado, let's get into the hive and hear the buzz as Mavis Taguba takes me through the innovation round.
Hi, I'm Mavis Taguba from InnovaBiz, based in our Manila, Philippines office. I'm really excited as today is my first time on the InnovaBiz podcast, and I have the privilege of being the host of a segment. I'm going to speak with our founder and usual host of the InnovaBiz podcast, Jürgen Strauss. We thought it might be good to turn the tables on Jürgen and get him to share with our audience how he would answer some of the questions he usually asks his guests on the podcast. So welcome, Jürgen.
Thank you, Mavis. Thank you.
Yeah, how does it feel? Yeah, how does it feel to be on the other side of the InnovaBiz podcast?
Well, it's a little bit strange, but this should be fun. And I thought it would be a good idea to switch the tables and give you some experience on hosting. So thank you for taking on that challenge, and we should have fun.
Yeah, thank you. It's a privilege to be here and honored to be like a host for the first time. Okay. Well, Jürgen, I'd like to take you through the InnovaBuzz innovation round. We call it the buzz. And for the listeners, you've heard Jürgen say this. It's our innovation round. It's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. Are you ready, Jürgen?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go then. So our first question, what is the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Yeah, well, this is a great question. I guess I'm cheating a little bit here because I have the benefit of a lot of people telling me their answers to this question. So I've kind of encapsulated some of that experience in this as well. But for me, it's about listening to people's problems and their issues and asking a lot of questions. So there's a technique called the six whys. So you keep asking why. So every time you get an answer to the question why, you ask, well, why is that? It's a little bit like the 2 or 3 year olds that will pester the adults all day asking why. And I think, you know, we lose some of that as we get older. It's kind of educated out of us, but I think we should come back and revisit that in a lot of ways because that really does help to generate ideas and to be more innovative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that you said that. You know, like, I think you start by saying we start with the individual. I think it's amazing to like talk to the people first and really know their problems. And that's where they would know that you really care. I recommend we anchor to problems, not just solutions. And
That's right.
And sometimes, instead of spending time to just, you know, think of different solutions to their problems, why we just need to understand their problems first and test our ideas against their understanding. And I think that's more like we're much more likely to succeed.
And yes, I agree.
I wonder where you get the ideas for like the six whys.
I'm not sure where that came from. It's something that I read a long time ago, and I just it just made sense to me, and I remembered that. So I think, you know, you make a good point about understanding people's problems first, and it's a lot around. I mean, without a problem, there's no solution, right? So if you have a solution and there isn't a problem for that solution, it's kind of a waste of time. And one of the things that, you know, I'm very strong about NLP and the five success principles of NLP. So the first one, of course, is know your outcome. And to know your outcome, you really need to understand what is it that you're trying to achieve. What, you know, in terms of being innovative, recently we had Ali McGill on the podcast, and he is very strong and passionate about user experience. And he talked about innovation as being, you know, improving the user experience to the point where you're really understanding people's problems and then delivering their solution. So I think that really encapsulates how I feel about innovation. The other thing I like to do, and we did a lot of this when we were doing research and developing products in the chemical industry, is emulating what happens in nature, because there's so many amazing things that go on in nature that we kind of take for granted sometimes, or we ignore, we just accept that's what happens. And again, if we kind of ask, why does that happen? What's the purpose for that? Why is that plant or that living organism doing that? And then how do they do that? And then you can actually get some ideas from looking at those things as well.
Yeah, I really like that. I enjoyed Ali's podcast with you as well. I like how he's passionate about, you know, really helping people. Because sometimes we tend to like think of innovation as fast grow, you know, fast moving, just like innovate and innovate and innovate, you know. But, you know, the truth is it usually takes time, really like years to go from, you know, like your discovery of this problem and, you know, finding systematic method to like, you know, work on that problem and finding new solutions.
And that's right. Yeah. I like to say that innovation can be, you know, a big transformation or a massive change in something, but it should be for the better. But innovation can also be, you know, small incremental improvements for the better. That's still innovation. So you're right. You know, sometimes the big massive changes can take a long time to actually implement. So it's important to really understand what the problem is and know what the outcome should be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay, so we're moving to our next question. Okay, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas and products?
Okay, well, I guess I probably reflect back on the first answer, which is, you know, asking a lot of questions and listening to people. And then, but reflection is really important, because once you have a lot of information through that process and other ways to gather information, then I find it's really important to reflect on the information and kind of let it percolate in your mind. And that, for me, that brings about a lot of new ideas. And one way I do that, if I go on a long solo bike ride where I'm very focused just on riding my bike, which doesn't occupy a lot of brain cells, I guess. So a lot of the brain is inactive in that part, because most of it is just mechanical, turning my legs over and watching what's happening on the road. If it's a nice quiet road and there's not a lot of traffic, then my mind is usually going at a million miles an hour, and that's where I find a lot of my ideas and things, and they kind of just pop into my head. It seems to come out of the unconscious mind, if, you know, if I've got a whole lot of information stored somewhere, and then all of a sudden I think of something that, oh, that could be a way to tackle this particular challenge or problem.
Yeah, I think listening to people, it's a huge thing. to develop new ideas. I remember in one of our, I think it's our podcast series, I'm not sure who's the guest, but he talked about putting our shoes into someone's shoes.
Yeah.
And learn to develop ideas based on what you learn from that person. We have to, you know, like make it a little different, but you still get the base of that, what you learned, and, you know, like copy it kind of like that.
That's a really good point, to think in the customer's shoes, if you like, and what are they experiencing? Yeah.
Yeah. Cause sometimes we, you know, as people, we want to be better sometimes, like, you know, than other people. Then we tend to like think, oh, we have to like develop these new ideas, but it's really from other people that you could learn. Maybe you could like improve other things that you learn from them.
Yeah, and it's fun to work with other people as well.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you said, that you go bike riding. And yeah, like, you know, like I think you, sometimes you have to step back before you stepping into the space you want to be in. You have to like step back and think of the things that you, you know, like be at your, by yourself, and just think of the things that you could do, like view the world by yourself. Give yourself a moment to think, you know.
That's right. Yeah. That's reflection.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Okay. So we're moving to the next question, or do you have other things that you want to say?
Oh, I think we've covered it pretty well.
Okay, cool. Okay. What is your favorite tool or system for innovation and improving your productivity?
Okay. Now this one, I mean, you know that I love my shiny new toys and tools, and sometimes I create a lot of problems for you when I decide I want to try something out. But I'm not going to list those up here, because I think once we've evaluated things and we like them, I will share them on blog posts and so on with my audience. But what I'm going to say here is mind mapping. So mind mapping is a way to develop ideas where, instead of the normal note-taking technique, you actually put in the center of a blank page your idea or your theme, and you basically around that develop a map, if you like, and it's an image, if you like, of the way the brain is actually structured. And I discovered this back many, many years ago. Probably give away my age if I say when I did. But I found it fascinating, because it really did help me to kind of get more systematic about innovation. I use it in productivity. So, you know, that, you know, we're doing mind mapping for a whole range of different things. Some people are really good at actually doing mind maps where the whole map doesn't have a single word on it. It's all pictures. I can't do that really well. I can do stick men and so on, but definitely mind mapping has helped me over the years, and it's probably nearly 30 years that I've been mind mapping, and I'm still as you know, sold on it as I was when I first got introduced to it.
Yeah, like who like introduced that to you, or did you just develop it while thinking?
No, the person who developed that is Tony Buzan is his name, and I'm not sure how I came across this, but he was speaking in Melbourne. He was doing a world tour, and he had a big event in Melbourne where there was probably 300 or 400 people at that event. And I went along to that event, and I learned to juggle in an hour. So that was his metaphor for teaching you to learn new things and how you learn new things. So he actually had us juggling, and I've still got those juggling balls in my cabinet here in the office. But as part of that, he went through the whole process of mind mapping, and this was before the days where there were computer programs that did mind mapping. So everything I was doing was on paper, and I've got lots of paper still collected in various places about mind maps I did and those early training mind maps. So yeah, Tony Buzan introduced me to that and, you know, immediately sold on it. And he's a really smart person. So he, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome that you attend, you know, different events to like learn something new. And yeah, like I just love these questions because I know that like, you're gonna say that like you love shiny new tools. yeah, it's funny because, you know, I like exploring like different things as your assistant, and like sometimes I get used to this tool and you like pop up with a different tool. But and I understand that because, you know, there's, you know, I think in terms of customer expectations and really like globalization, like it has increased the need of our, you know, like higher productivity, and you have to make sure to like know different tools and, you know, like compare each different tools.
That's right. So it's a delicate balance, really. It's a, you know, keeping focused on what really adds value and not being distracted by all the stuff, because there's so much stuff happening on the internet and there's so many people doing new things, and not all of them are a good fit for what we do. But like you say, you have to be aware of what's happening, and if there is something there that adds more value to our clients or helps us do things better, then definitely we want to take a serious look at it.
Yeah, and I really like your idea of, you know, with mind mapping, because I've done like some mind mapping tool. Like we have a mind mapping tools, right? Like you introduced that to me, where we could, you know, like see the overall objective, I guess, or like vision of something that we need to do, like a business.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've got.
Yeah, and we all.
I've got a wonderful story about mind mapping, and this goes back to my corporate days where we had a global meeting of, I think there were 600 or 700 people in this meeting, and the business was divided into four geographical regions, and I was there as the technical director of the Asia Pacific and Oceania region, and the head of that business had an emergency crop up that morning and wasn't able to make it. And he was supposed to do a 25-minute presentation on the business, the state of the business there and so on. And as Asia Pacific compared to Europe, North America and Latin America, alphabetically, we were first. And so they asked me to do this presentation and at essentially no notice. I said, well, you probably know the business better than anybody else that's here at the moment. And I said, okay, I'll do the presentation, but can I go last so that I can sit down and kind of, I was trying to multitask because I did want to listen to the other presentations, but I had to obviously prepare to give this presentation to an audience of 300 to 400 people. So I sat down, and while the other three regions were doing their presentations, and they had fancy PowerPoint slides and all kinds of wonderful stuff, they did their presentations, and I sat down and just mind mapped. I just dumped everything I knew about the business into a mind map, and using the mind map, I was able to structure it in a way that made sense as a presentation, you know, beginning with, well, where's the state of the business? What are the challenges? You know, where are the big opportunities and those kind of things. And then when the time came, I did the presentation that went for about 20, 25 minutes. Didn't have any slides, obviously, but just worked off that mind map and talked about it and described things. And at the end of it, you know, people came up to me from all over, lots of people I didn't even know and hadn't met before, and said that was the best presentation they'd heard in a long, long time. So, so that, and that was very early in the days of mind mapping, and I just used pencil and paper to quickly prepare that presentation.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, like audience love visuals, and for example, if we draw like an accurate map, like you did, you know, like a process of, you know, like where they could see like an information flow, I think they could better understand the links.
Yeah.
You know, what you're saying, or like elements of your business, or like what we're trying to discuss with them and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. Like I'm not really like very structured person, I guess, but
We'll work on that.
Yeah, I know you'll help me with that.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that experience of you with mind mapping. That's amazing. Okay, so our next question, what's the best way to keep a project or client on track?
That's a really good question. That's one I put together, I guess. These are actually quite challenging questions. And when you think about them, you know, there's always, what does it mean to be on track? And some of this comes back to the five success principles of NLP that I referred to very briefly earlier. And I think, you know, in the blog post or in the podcast that this is going with, I'm going to talk about that a little bit in relation to content marketing. But really, it's knowing the outcome and setting the expectations up front. So things like providing a really good onboarding experience for the client so they know what to expect, they know how the communications are going to be, they know, you know, what are the key milestones and deadlines, and then having constant communication with them. I think that's really important because things do go off track. You know, there's things go wrong, things get delayed, stuff happens. And what, you know, you can't avoid that. So to have constant communication with the client and basically let them know, hey, something's come up, this is going to be delayed, then rather than pretend it's not happening, sort of pretend that everything is fine. And then, of course, they find out that it's not fine. So then the situation is worse. So I think they're the keys, really.
You know, do you have an example where you use, like, you know, one of the ways or keys that you said with a client and how it turned out?
Yeah, there's one example right now, and he may be listening to the podcast, actually, so you'll know who I'm talking about, but we won't name him. So, you know, we've undergone quite a few changes in the business over the last 6 months. And as a result, you know, in particular, one project has kind of suffered a little bit on that. And what, when we took that project on at the time, I spoke with the business owner and I said, well, here's what's happening in my business right now. And, you know, that's going to impact, if we take this project on, that's going to impact on that. We're probably going to take a lot longer than we normally would with this. And he said, yeah, that's fine. That's okay. You know, he was clear on his outcome and it didn't involve, you know, having this in place super quick, even though he, you know, he does need it in place. And so we've kind of managed that project along with that client at the same time as all these changes in the business that have directly impacted on it. So that's a good example of, you know, communicating with the client in terms of things that are going to impact on the project, on our ability to deliver the project, and yet still have a good outcome.
Yeah, and I think so too. You know, you when you have like a rock solid processes that you do, like, you know, a process in place, it's kind of easier to like manage client projects.
That's right. Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm big on processes and and we're continually working to make sure that we've got them all well documented and that they're really tight and working well.
And I really like what you said. You know, you have to talk to the client and identify, you know, like probably like problems long before they become a problem or like,
you know, like, well, if you can...
If you can see them. That's amazing. That will really keep our project, you know, like running smoothly with your client. Okay. So we're moving to the like final question, I guess. This is the final one. Okay. Here again, what's one thing you can do to differentiate yourself?
I think probably half of my guests, when I ask that question, come with some variation of just be yourself. So I'm going to go with that as well because, you know, everybody's unique. So if you be yourself, then you're unique, you're different. That doesn't mean don't look at other people and see what you can learn from them. because you should see what you can learn from other people, but you don't need to copy other people, or you don't need to try to pretend to be somebody else. So I think, you know, being yourself, sharing your unique story with the world. So, you know, nobody's experienced what you've experienced. Nobody's lived your life. So therefore, by sharing, you know, your experience and your life with other people, you're adding value to them and adding unique value to them. And the other one I'd say is bring a servant's heart to everything you do. So, you know, that's something that I know you know that we're very strong on is, you know, how can we best serve our audience? How can we best serve our customers? And, you know, having that front of mind all the time.
I just like that, you know, like when you said be yourself, I just could imagine myself just, you know, looking myself in the mirror and before meeting with anyone else, just know myself first and really like see who I am. And building that, I guess, like personal style that I have. You know, because if we do that, you know, like getting small habits and like seeing what ways, like how you do things, like communicating, I think it will become a kind of like a signature
for us. That's right. Like for you. Definitely.
And so like your audience or your clients will see that and they will attract that signature of yours. And I like that you said you have to bring your ideas to life. You know yourself when you know yourself and you know what you're capable of. We just don't want to be stuck there, you know, like in your house and not go out.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, like share your ideas. And people could really see, like I said before, like people could see if you care or you don't care. Like our clients are.
That's
are,
right. Like, that's people. That's a really good point. Yeah, they can tell if you care or you're just pretending. And so they can tell if you're being natural or you're just pretending to be something else.
Yeah, especially they're leaving this business that they have for like 24/7. And I know like you do as well. Like you, I don't know, they could probably see how, if you're leaving your business or helping them for like 24/7. It's kind of like a professional lifeblood, as they say.
Yeah,
but you have to make sure in differentiating yourself, like I said before, like setting back, have like a time for yourself to see the world, to see how you could help your clients be better, their business, and just love them, like you said. And when they see that, when they feel that, they will more likely to really trust you. You know, it's, I think like working with you, it's just amazing because we have like this communication, like open communication, and I could see like you're passionate in like helping me out with the job that I have, especially I am like really new into some of the things that, you know, like we tackle like every day, but you, you know, make time to like help me out. So it's amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to do that. And you know, that kind of, I said something about the servant's heart there, and you know, it comes back, because if I help you do your job in time, you take on more. I mean, you know, you're doing this podcast now all of a sudden. You didn't think you'd do that 6 months ago, did you?
Yep. Yeah, like you said, you know, having a unique relationship process is also like one way, like differentiating yourself. You know, like, yeah, you've been helping me out. So that's amazing. Okay. Yeah, that's really great, Jürgen. Thanks for your time. So where can people reach out to you to continue this discussion with you?
Well, I'm on Twitter and the handle is at InnovaBiz, and they can also email me, jürgen@innovabiz.com.au. But I definitely love people to comment on the blog posts, you know, at the Innovation Hive. So, you know, whether it's underneath this particular blog or when we've posted other podcasts with other guests, we'd really love for them to leave comments there and share their experiences, or whether they disagree with the guest or disagree with me, I'm quite happy to have them post comments there and continue the discussion. Because again, coming back to what we said earlier, is talking to people is a great way to get new ideas and generate that innovation.
Yeah. So, yeah, people, you hear you again. You have to. You can comment and talk to him. He's really nice. Okay. Speaking of experiences, I forgot to ask, what's the number one piece of advice you would give to any business who wants to be a leader in your field?
Okay, I was kind of wondering whether I needed to remind you of that one. Thank you for asking that. So I would say, if you want to be a leader, then lead. If you don't want to be a leader, that's perfectly okay. So it's really just a matter of do it. You know, the Nike slogan, just do it. And I was a huge Star Trek fan as a kid, and I still kind of enjoy watching some of the old Star Trek television movies or series. And, you know, one of the things they said in the beginning, I think, you know, go where no one has gone before. And so to me, that is a little bit about leadership. You know, don't be afraid to do something that's completely different or out there. Don't be afraid to go where no one's been before. And the other thing that I've kind of taken on as a bit of a mantra recently, and James Eder, who developed the Causer app, was on our podcast a little while ago. Can't remember what episode that was, but have a look him up. Probably a couple of months back. And one of the things he said stuck in my mind, and it was, why not now and why not me? So he was talking about developing that Causer app, and he had this vision, and people kind of said, that's all very nice, but you know, the technology is probably 5 or 10 years away. Sounds really interesting. And his response was, why not now and why not me? So I kind of took that and thought that that's a good mantra to keep reminding yourself of as well. So that comes back to leadership too.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said, you know, to be a leader, lead. So like for you, how does a leader lead, or how does a leader should lead?
Well, the main thing is to actually do what you expect others to do. So that's part of it. You know, if, like, let's say, for example, I ask you to do something, if I'm not doing that, well, that's not really good leadership. And whilst you may do it because I've asked you to do it, if you see me behaving differently, it's a conflict. So that's not really good leadership. So that's kind of one thing. And then I guess the other thing, in terms of a business sense, where you know, you're trying to educate people and influence people, part of it is that servant's heart. So, you know, a leader is not the guy that gets up on the podium necessarily and kind of you know, bangs the table and has fantastic oratory skills and motivates people just by, you know, passionate speech or something like that. He may be, but you know, a lot of those guys end up being dictators, and they dictate to people what they should be doing, and essentially take away their freedom. So it's, in some ways, a leader is about inspiring others. It's about helping others to be leaders, and you know, so it comes back to that, having a servant's heart. So really, a leader is a servant of others in some ways. Not, you know, when I say servant, I don't mean subservient, as in, you know, go fetch the coffee or whatever. But I mean, you know, how can I help? What can I do to help you?
Yeah, I really like that. There was like a quote, like I read it was yesterday, I think, or a couple days ago. You know, it was a difference of like leadership and management. Leadership is like helping people become better, become the best of them, like after you leave them, like management's helping them, you know, become better while you were with them.
That's a good one. Yeah. And, you know, some of the, and this comes back to process as well, because some of, you know, a good entrepreneur will build his business to the point where he can leave the business and it just runs as well as it did with him. So whether he decides to sell the business or whether he decides or he or she decides to start up something else and let others run that business, whatever it might be, but that's, that certainly is part of leadership.
Yeah, I really like that. And going back to what James Eder said, you know, like, why not now? Why not me? Yeah, I think leadership, we have to like be brave, I guess, to like step up and do that thing, or else like no one's gonna do it, really.
Yeah, that's right. Because if everybody sits back and says, oh, in 10 years' time, we might have the ability to do that, then nothing's going to happen, is it?
Yeah. Or like even people don't want to do it and you think that you could do it, just you know, like lead the way.
Yeah,
do it.
That's right.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, thanks so much, Jürgen. Finally, who would you like to have as guests on future InnovaBuzz podcast, and why? I really like this.
Okay. So what I'm going to say here, so this is an interesting answer too. I'm going to say I'm going to say Seth Godin. I'm going to say Tony Buzan, who I mentioned earlier. I'm going to say Stephen Covey. I'm going to say Edward De Bono. And I'm going to add Elon Musk to that list. That's pretty ambitious. That's a pretty ambitious list. So those guys are all at the top of their game. They're all very famous. They're all very busy. They don't know who I am. So they're, you know, why would they even talk to me? And in some ways, I go back to the Star Trek, go where no man has gone before. But thinking back to when I started this podcast a couple of years ago, I had some of those people on my list. And I also had Michael E. Gerber on that list, the author of the E-Myth series of books and now the author of Beyond the E-Myth. And, you know, you could have said the same thing at that time about, you know, that's pretty ambitious having Michael E. Gerber on the list. He doesn't know who you are and, you know, you've got no avenue to get in touch with him. As most of the regular listeners know, back in November last year, I had Michael on the podcast. I interviewed him. He spent more than an hour with us. He was very generous with his time. He's a very energetic guy. He's very smart, obviously. Otherwise, you know, those books wouldn't have been such a huge hit. And when I first started, I wrote this list and I thought, oh, yeah, I don't know if ever that will happen. But we did get Michael E. Gerber. So now I'm putting it out there. I'm saying, okay, Seth Godin, Tony Buzan, Stephen Covey, Edward De Bono and Elon Musk. They're on my list now. So at some point, something will happen and it will give me the opportunity to connect with one or more of those people and perhaps have them on the podcast. So why do I want them on there? Well, Seth Godin, I've been a huge fan of Seth Godin from even before I started my business, which is now 10 years ago. You know, The Purple Cow is one that I really like, which is a book about differentiation, but he's written so many books and he's such an insightful guy. He would be awesome to have on the podcast. And I think our audience would get huge benefits from listening to him. And I know I would, obviously. Tony Buzan, I mentioned Tony as the founder of mind mapping, so I'd really love to talk to him in depth about mind mapping and how he developed that and what he's up to these days. Stephen Covey is another author who, you know, the author of the Seven Habits books and First Things First. So I read First Things First probably about 12 years ago or so. I think it might have just come out then. And have been a huge fan of Stephen's ever since. So I'd love to talk to him about, you know, organization and visions and missions and keeping yourself on track and keeping an organization on track. Edward de Bono's, he's the master of creativity and innovation. He's written hundreds of books, and you know, his principles, I used to do a lot of his six thinking hats. I was actually an accredited trainer for that for a while, and he's got a whole lot of other things that are, you know, fantastic innovation tools. So he'd be another one to quiz about innovation on the podcast, and would add enormous value, I think. And of course, Elon Musk, we all know Elon as the person who made a lot of money out of PayPal, and now is the CEO of SpaceX, and also of Tesla, and has a vision for, you know, alternative energy and getting humans onto Mars. So, you know, he's leading, he's out there doing and going where no one has ever gone before. So I think that he would be awesome and contribute a lot to our audience with, mm-hmm. you know, with that sort of philosophy.
Yeah, awesome. You know, you never know, these people might be really busy, but, you know, like Michael Gerber, you were able to interview him, so.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, something came up where there was a connection, and I, mm-hmm. because he was on my list, I reached out and was able to engineer a time where I could have him on the podcast. So that worked out really well.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. Well, Seth, Tony, Stephen, Edward, and Elon, keep an eye on your index for an invitation from me to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of the only host, Jürgen Strauss. I know these people are going to, you know, have an amazing conversation with you. So,
yeah, well, it'll be an honor to have them on, and it'll be, I'm pretty sure it would be an amazing experience. But yes, we'll need to establish some connection with them and build a little bit of a relationship somehow mm-hmm. when we, yeah. you know, find out how we can cross paths and then see if they're willing to come and talk to us.
All right. That's good. Okay, well, thank you so much, Jürgen, for being part, you know, for being on the other side of the bus today and sharing your views with our audience.
Oh, it was fun, Mavis. Thanks for taking over the microphone and hosting it.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have done my first podcast segment and look forward to do more in the future. But, you know, you're the great host, so. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, this is Mavis Taguba from InnovaBiz reminding you that if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.